You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
How many of you guys get excited for the start of a new year each year? A handful of us do. All right. I do. I love it. But listen, if you don't, or if you're indifferent, then I just want to encourage you, change your mind about that today. Okay, get excited about the new year today. I would encourage you, do not get cynical. Do not get complacent about the idea that things really can change. Things really can improve. Things can get better with the beginning of a new year. Maybe in your past, you didn't have that much to be excited about. Or maybe in the past, you have gotten excited about a new year, but then your year, or maybe some years, haven't gone the way you wanted them to. Okay, here's why I want you to change your mind today. Because Jesus makes all things new. Okay, Jesus has life, he has goodness, he has growth, he has abundant blessings in mind for you. And maybe, just maybe, if some of us are honest, maybe Jesus wasn't that big of a factor in our lives in years past. I mean, we say, yeah, I went to church though, I'm a Christian. Yeah, no, he was. Okay, but let's just be honest. When the rubber met the road, when it was go time, when it was prime time, decision time, time to put that Christianity into everyday living, into real-time action, maybe many of us have made our own decisions rather than the decision Jesus wanted us to make. Okay, so much grace, but listen, that's how you start having a bad year. And if you're not careful, that's how you start stringing together a decline over a number of years. Okay, but that doesn't mean Jesus can't be the biggest factor in your life moving forward and that you can't return to a life of joy. You can return and you can have the life of impact and significance that Jesus has for you that your soul craves. You can have it starting now. You can have it moving forward, okay? Here's the good news. You are invited right now, today, no matter how your past year was, no matter the decisions you made, it's a new year, it's a new beginning. You're not here by accident. You're here because Jesus loves you, because he's drawing you, because he has abundant life in mind for you. We love you. We're so glad you're here too. I'm convinced Jesus wants to do the miraculous in your life in 2019. I really am. And I'm convinced he wants you to experience his closeness, his blessings, and listen to me, his presence in your life in new ways like you never have before. Just a few days before 2018 ended, I heard God say something to me just very clearly about what I believe he wants to do in the life of the gathering. Okay, listen, I believe he pronounced something that he wants to do in our church in 2019, really in your life, okay, in the life of our family, but that's you and me, right? So I'm going to share that with you today, okay? Before we get too far into 2019, though, here's what I want to do. We as a church family, we have a lot to celebrate and remember and be thankful to God for what he did in 2018. Do we have some things to celebrate or what? Yes, we do. It's been an incredible year. And here's what's so cool. I'll explain this more in just a minute. But it's precisely because of what God did in 2018 and how many of you responded to him. Listen, it's precisely because of his part and your part that we're now in a position where God can have a conversation with us about where he wants to take us next. You see that? Okay, so we'll get into that in a minute, all right? God has good plans for us, and I'm telling you, hang on to your hats. Get ready. All right, you ready to celebrate, though? You want to take a stroll down memory lane and remind ourselves of God's goodness to us in 2018? Here we go. And let me just set the context for some of these things we're going to celebrate, okay? We are a discipleship church, okay? Meaning we want to live the disciple life Jesus has for us. We want to be disciples who also make disciples, who participate in the process of making more disciples. Our vision is to see Newton reborn, but we believe that will happen as you and I actually live like disciples who make disciples. We believe we're gonna continue to see a spontaneous multiplication of disciples in this town until a people and their city are revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. Newton reborn, okay? So that said, we want the gathering to grow. We all on the same page with that? We want our church to grow. We want more people to follow Jesus and be disciples of Jesus all the time. And so just think about it. Think about Think about the multiplication that can happen, okay? It can increase. If you have 20 disciples making disciples versus 1,000 disciples making disciples, which one's gonna see a city reborn quicker? Right? All right, so with that said, I want you to know that as we began 2018, as we started the year, we were averaging 235 people on Sunday mornings, hanging out with us between the two services on Sunday mornings. Okay, leading up to Christmas Eve, okay, there were about four or five Sundays there in a row where we were averaging 340 people each Sunday. Come on. And then, get this, okay, so Christmas Eve, we actually had a few different people counting, and it was a little tough to tell because there were so many people here, but we actually believe that for the very first time, we had just over 500 people with us at the gathering. Come on. So, can I share something with you? Our goal for 2019 is that by the end of the year, we would have an average weekly, I'm going to say attendance, but we don't really believe in attendance, we believe in engagement. You know, but I'm going to use the word attendance, that we would have an average weekly attendance of 500 every weekend. Yeah. Amen? So that means we're going to have to be disciples who make disciples, right? But don't worry, we will continue to equip ourselves to do that. But here's what that means then. We had 79 people this past year complete all three sessions of Connect. Yes. Yeah. Which then means we now have 171 adults in neighborhood gatherings. That if you add the kids in, and kids are important, right? That's 250 people-ish in our church that are actually plugged into neighborhood gatherings, okay? I'll just tell you, there are churches that they would kill people to have that kind of, they would do it. No. I'm going to use that figuratively. They would kill to have that kind of percentage of people actually plugged into their small groups. Such a beautiful thing. And so we're about to launch three brand new neighborhood gatherings. And I know there's a bunch of us that have recently finished Connect. And you guys are going to be a part of these new neighborhood gatherings. We're so excited. Cannot wait. We now have 121 people serving with Team Reborn. 21 of those people also served as neighborhood gathering leaders this past year. We celebrated 10 baptisms in 2018. We also gave generously. Man, we gave offerings. We continue to see the Fox reborn with our offerings. We put fancy finishings all over what we used to call the deck. But it's too fancy to be called the deck now, isn't it? We call it the mezzanine now, okay? We did that. We gave offerings. We upgraded our sound system. But here's where I'm going with this. I want to share with you the total amount that our church as a whole gave in 2018. Okay, it's unbelievable, you guys. So what I'm about to share with you is the total amount, tithes, offerings, Fox Reborn, Christmastown, anything and everything that came into the gathering in 2018. You guys ready for this? Here's what we gave as a total. $451,681.03. I'm a crier. The church started with nothing. We're not even 5 years old, and this church started with nothing. It started with a vision. But before we even launched, I was having conversations. Pastor Greg lived in Florida at the time. We would talk over the phone about how was this going to work? What were we going to do? How would we even raise any money to start? And Pastor Greg spoke very specifically one time. I really believe he spoke prophetically over the phone. I'll never forget. He said, Brandon, this church is going to get started. It's going to get its foundation built on the generosity of the people who show up. And that's what has happened. Listen, you guys have continued to be faithful, and God has continued to be faithful. Amen? Listen, this is actually about $50,000 more than we gave last year. So can I tell you something? That's actually a direct result, I'm telling you, of your faithfulness. It's a direct result of the impact that series, you guys, some of you guys will remember, last February we did a series called The Blessed Life, and we together as a church, we discovered the biblical truth of bringing the tithe back to God. of putting God first in our lives by bringing the first of our increase back to Him. And so many of you guys discovered how to be faithful with that and what happens when we do and how God responds. We have story after story after story in this church family of people stepping out in faith and bringing the tithe and how God has continued to bless and impact lives. Such a beautiful thing. Okay, and now the blessing, it's getting poured out. People are receiving and then it's getting multiplied. So listen, I want to say this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say this Blessed Life series, over the next couple of months, we're not gonna go through the whole thing again, but we're gonna make it available and we're gonna have some ways to share that. I would encourage everyone to take advantage of that and check out that series. It will change your life, okay? But here's what I mean when I say the blessing gets multiplied. We also take 10% of everything that comes into the gathering and we set it aside for missions, for being a blessing to others outside of the gathering and our sphere of influence just right here. We are a blessing to our town. We're a blessing to our neighbors. But then we also partner with church planting organizations. We partnered with ARC this last year, the Association of Related Churches, and also Link, who we've been a part of for a long time. Together they plant churches, but get this, we partnered with ARC this last year, and a percentage of that 10% we give every month just goes to ARC. So here's how it's getting multiplied. Through what you guys give, and then we set aside that percentage and send part of it to ARC, our church right here, The Gathering, participated in planting 79 new churches here in America just this past year. Do you know how many towns and neighborhoods and cities need life-giving churches? Come on. So your generosity continues to multiply what God is even doing right here. Thank you. We then, together as a church, we also, from day one, we have supported a couple named Alex and Darla Reuter. They left Newton. They're from Newton. They left Newton to go to Deschler, Ohio, a small town in Ohio, where they planted a church called Wave Community Church. They're doing Deschler Reborn. They just got a new building on Main Street. I believe somebody gave them a hardware store. It's beautiful. They're transforming it. They're seeing people come to know Jesus. We're a part of that. We also support the Lears family as they are in Djibouti, Africa. They're really reaching out to the Somalia region where it's completely illegal to be a Christian there. But they are seeing Muslims give their lives to Jesus. You guys are a part of that. To follow up the Blessed Life then, we launched Financial Peace University here at The Gathering. We had over 40 people complete Financial Peace University. In fact, just last week, just a guy right here in our church, he told me, he said, since completing Financial Peace University, which hasn't even been a whole year now, okay, but earlier in the year since completing that, he said he and his wife have now paid off over $12,000 worth of debt. I'm just going to be real with you right here, okay? The Eck household, since we completed it, we have now paid off over $9,000 worth of debt. We just actually, on the 1st of January, finished. We paid a lump sum to pay off a student loan that we've had since college. Boom! Freedom! Come on, you know what that actually does? It frees us up to be even more generous. Come on. So I think we're going to try and offer Financial Peace University again. I would encourage everybody to take advantage of that. All right. But your giving, here's also what it allowed us to do. We were able to hire staff this last year. We hired Emily Yunke to be our connections coordinator. And so she really has her hands in the whole connect process and helping people get connected. But so get this, before we hired Emily, we were averaging 4 to 5 people in connect every month. I'm telling you, she started in the summer. The month she started and got her hands on it, we now average 15 to sometimes 20 people in connect. Talk about a good investment, right? Yeah, so then we also hired our part-time worship intern, Jordan Weaver. Come on, isn't he crushing it? He's amazing. And then we also hired, come on, Brant Russell to be our associate pastor. He is going to lead The Gathering students. He's going to tell you more about that in just a little bit. He's also going to help out with some of the creative, and he's got the coolest hair around, and everything he does is so trendy, and he just touches it and turns to gold. I'm not jealous at all in any way. No, man, we hired a winner. Come on. And so I can't wait. So I'm just going to give you a heads up. On the 27th, you don't want to miss it. 3 weeks from today, Pastor Brant's preaching right here. Okay? Get stoked. It's going to be good. All right? Man, so, yeah, we've done so many amazing things. I'm losing my place right here. Okay, to conclude our 2018 celebration, though, I mean, there's many things. I bet you guys have things in your life and things that God has done. So I want to kind of sum it up by saying this. We have seen so many people here at the gathering take discipleship steps. Take actual steps to, I'm going to say it, to leave sin and old ways of living behind and keep becoming more like Jesus. We have had dozens and dozens. We don't do this every Sunday, but every once in a while, I mean, we'll just ask, if anybody wants to give their life to Jesus, would you raise your hand? And we've had weekends where dozens and dozens of people over the last year have indicated, I want to either come back to Jesus or I'm giving my life to him. We've had a lot of people confess sin this past year. Some of you get a little nervous when I say that, but I get stoked. It's such a beautiful thing. This is a safe place to confess sin. But here's what happens. Confession is a part of repentance, and then repentance opens your life up to accountability, and then accountability leads to a life of obedience, which opens up your life to even more of what Jesus has for you. Okay, so I've shared this a couple times now, but we've got a guy that goes to our church, started going earlier in 2018, raised his hand one Sunday, said, I want to give my life to Jesus, came up and told me about it afterward. He said, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Okay, and here's what I watched. He just took the steps. He went to Connect, got plugged in, got into a neighborhood gathering, got loved and surrounded by the people in his neighborhood gathering. He started serving with Team Reborn as well. He came up to me a couple months ago. Here's what he said. He said, man, I've got so many burdens in my life. He said, I've made so many mistakes in my past, things that I regret. But he said, every time I show up here, the burdens keep getting lighter and lighter. That's Jesus. Come on. So listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know how I know where some of you guys are at, but I don't know how everybody's year was or what's exactly going on in your life, but I'm telling you that that can be your 2019 as well. Okay, and not just lighter burdens, but here's what he's experiencing. He's experiencing the life of impact and significance. You can have it too. Come on, can we thank God for everything that he has done here in our midst in 2018? Give him your best. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. And so, as I said, okay, listen, just a few days before the new year began, God spoke something very clearly to me for 2019. And so I'm just going to be real with you this morning. He spoke this to me in a dream, okay? And what he said is probably going to sound a little funny to you at first, okay? It sounded funny to me at first, but just stick with me. I'll explain it, all right? But let me say this way, when he spoke, his words, he gave a spiritual picture of what I believe he wants to do in 2019, okay? So here it is, all right? Early in the morning, December 28th, Thursday early in the morning, I was still sleeping, and I heard God speak to me just so very clearly. He said, Brandon, I'm going to pour out such a cloud. Now, I was sleeping at the time, but I had the same look on my face that many of you have on your face right now. Some of you are like, are you sure you want to celebrate New Year's Eve just a little early? No. So I woke up though, and immediately some scriptures came to mind. I know it sounds a little funny, okay? But then I did some of that fancy pastor work where I looked up the word cloud in the Bible and discovered a little bit more about what God was actually saying. Now, I know some of you guys are a little weirded out by this, okay? If you've got a Pentecostal background, though, you are right at home right now. You are like, praise Jesus. Here we go. We're going to the cloud. All right. Stick with me. I'm going to show you some scriptures, all right? But listen, here's what we're going to see. After doing some study, above all, you will see that clouds in the Bible represent the presence of God with his people. Okay, the presence, the power, the covering, the authority, the security, the goodness, the blessings, you name it. Even listen to me, the witness of who God is sometimes spiritually, but often even literally, it manifests itself or shows up in the form of a cloud all throughout the Bible, okay? So I'm going to show you some scriptures, but I just want you to, I believe God is saying he wants to pour out his presence into the life of our church, into you and me in new and exceeding, meaning bigger ways or more than we have experienced before. And even, listen, in surprising ways that we aren't even expecting here in 2019. Okay, can I show this to you in the Bible? Let me show you where this comes from in Scripture, all right? So just watch. These are going to be up on the screen. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. But Exodus 13, 21 through 22. So speaking of the presence of God and how he guides his people. Okay, this is when God, watch this. This is when God led his people out of slavery in Egypt. Okay, watch. It says, the Lord went ahead of them. He did. He was there. He went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud. And he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. Some of you need to see in the dark right now, don't you? Come on. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Exodus 16:10, speaking of the power of God. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. I'm going to read from Leviticus 16:2. Okay, so this is speaking about the presence of God among his people. God had instructed his people to make an ark, the Ark of the Covenant. It was like a wooden chest that they carried with them. Okay, but God said that the presence of God would remain with the ark, like here on earth, okay? And so they put this ark inside of a tent called the tabernacle where they would worship God. But the tent and the ark then was in the very center of the camp of God's people. His presence was right there. So it says, for the ark's cover, the place of atonement is there. And here's what God says. He's speaking. He says, I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover, above the cover on the ark. Okay, but that phrase, atonement cover, often gets translated as mercy seat. The cloud would literally hover right above the ark in the mercy seat. How many, God, his presence always shows up in your lives from a perspective of bringing atonement for you and mercy for you. Psalm 97:2, dark clouds surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. 1 Kings 8:10-12. Okay, this is immediately after the Israelites finished building the first temple, which is where the presence of God would reside with his people on earth until Jesus came. And now through Jesus, come on, we ourselves are considered the temple of God, meaning the cloud, the Spirit of God comes and lives in us, right? We got to make some room. Watch, when the priest came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud. Here it is. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. Ezekiel 1:28, Ezekiel has a vision. He actually gets to see what God looks like. And here's how he describes God. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. Acts 1:9. So now Jesus has risen from the grave. He's been with his disciples for 40 days. He's about to ascend into heaven. It says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching and they could no longer see him. But do you remember what the angels say to the disciples right after this? They say he's going to return the same way he ascended, right? And so here's what we see in Revelation 1:7. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And finally, Revelation 14:14, John writes, he says, then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. Do you remember what Jesus refers to himself as? The Son of Man. This is Jesus on the cloud. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. He's ready for harvest. Come on, are you seeing this, church? So listen again, I heard the Lord say, Brandon, I'm going to pour out such a cloud. Okay, not just a little bit, not just average, something exceptional. Okay, so listen to me. I believe God wants to pour out his presence into the life of our church in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. But here's what that really means. Come on, the church is you and me. Are you the church? Do you love Jesus? I believe he wants to pour out his presence in your life in new and exceeding and even surprising ways that you have not experienced before. I believe he wants to pour out his presence, his power, his covering, his security, his protection, his guidance, his blessings, the abundant life, I believe he even wants your witness of him to be something you have not yet experienced before. He wants to pour out more of himself into your life. And do you know what happens in the presence of God? Here's what always happens in the presence of God. Life flourishes. Life flourishes. Unconditional love is poured out. Lies are exposed. The truth is made known. Repentance takes place. Darkness is beaten back. Sin is defeated. Forgiveness is given. Healing occurs. Bitterness and depression retreat. Peace is enjoyed. Joy becomes the new norm. Guidance is given. Growth takes place. Power and authority are received. The life of impact takes root in your life. Significance becomes your current reality, and blessings are poured out and received and multiplied. Church, blessings. God wants to bless you. Some of us don't believe that anymore, or we've become skeptical of that. But Jesus said he came that we might have life and have that life to the full. Here's what we saw last week, though, with Pastor Chris Hodges. He says, some of us have totally given up on the idea of abundant life. Abundant life? We think, man, I'm just trying to survive. Survival mode is not Jesus's plan for your life. He has life in mind for you. He has power and authority and, listen to me, blessings in mind for you, even, I'm telling you, in 2019. He has it. And so here's one of the biggest ways I believe God wants us to experience his blessings as a church family in 2019. Listen to me. I really believe this. He wants you and I to experience his blessings through, this is just one way, but I believe it's a big way, through newfound freedom that you and I get to enjoy as a result of his presence in our lives. Okay, I shared this last week, but even before God spoke about the cloud, he was already speaking to us. We were convinced that God was saying 2019 is going to be a year of freedom for the gathering. But I'm telling you, this word about his presence in our lives only confirms that. Okay, do you still have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did I tell you to turn there in the first place? I might not have. It'll be up on the screen though. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Watch this. For the Lord is the Spirit. And here it is, watch. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, wherever the presence of God is at, what happens? Watch, there is freedom. Wherever God is, wherever he shows up, there is freedom. What if that thing that you're not free from, or those things that you are not free from, what if those are actually a major part of the bitterness and the depression you keep experiencing? What if that thing that you keep going back to is actually the very thing that keeps guiding you further and further away from the life of impact and significance that Jesus has for you? What if that secret sin, or that habit that you just can't break, or that lie you believe, what if that is the very thing that is stealing your joy? Okay, can I tell you something? It is. It is. Listen to me, with so much grace, the lies, the pornography, the lust, the sex, the language, the hurtful words we use towards our family, the abuse, the alcohol, the drugs, the selfishness, the pride, the spending habit, the gossip you keep going back to, you name it, all of that stuff, or even just one or two of those things in your life are currently keeping you from the life to the full that Jesus has for you. And listen, many of us know it. We know it. No shame. No shame, no judgment in here today. We know it. We know there's something in our lives, and we keep going back to it, and then we feel, every time we do, we feel guilty, we feel empty, we feel hopeless, and we're full of regret. We say, I don't want to do this anymore, but I have personal experience with this, okay? So listen, we regret it. The reason we do that is because we're not free yet. Okay, but can I tell you something? God, here's what God's really saying. He loves you too much to let you stay enslaved. So he's saying, this is what he's saying, I'm here. The cloud is here to lead you out of slavery. He's saying, I want to set you free. He's really given an invitation. He's saying, I want to pour out my presence into your life in new and exceeding and even surprising ways like you've never experienced before. Listen, today is the day to start believing that. And today is also the day to start making room for the presence of God in your life. Some of us, we have some of those things. Or one or two, or maybe we got some of those things, but we're perfectly fine with those things in our lives. Because we bought into the lie that, they're just minor. It's not a big deal. Or we bought into the lie that a little indulgence here and there isn't going to hurt anybody. Yes, it is. Okay, it's hurting you. It's hurting your relationship with others. And it's hurting your relationship with God. Okay, again, so much grace. Here's why it's hurting your relationship with God. Because God cannot dwell in the midst of your willful disobedience. Okay, the presence and the blessings of God cannot dwell in your life when you continue to be the God of your life and don't give him room to be the God of your life that he really is. You seeing this? Okay, listen, so much grace. And here's the good news. Here's what God is saying. He's saying, I love you too much to let you stay enslaved as well. So I believe he's saying this. I'm here. The cloud is here to lead you, to lead me out of slavery. Come on. He wants to pour out his presence into your life in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. He wants to set you free. Today is the day to believe that, and today is the day to start making room for the presence of God in your life. So here's the question. How do you make room for the presence of God in your life? How do you do that? Okay, listen, this is big right here, okay? So I'm going to talk about it a little bit today, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk all about this next week. Do not miss next Sunday. Invite somebody with you next Sunday. I believe God's going to give, freedom is coming, church family. Come on, presence of God, more. Show up. We're going to talk all about this, okay? But let me start the conversation this way, okay? I just want to remind you, I'll bring this back. Part of the reason we can even have a conversation about what God wants to do in our lives, where he wants to take us next, is because many of you in this church family already started making room for God back in 2018. So now we're at a place where God is saying, okay, I'm ready. Let's go to the next level. Okay, actually, the Bible says it this way, that he takes us from glory to glory. It's time to go to a new cloud church. Who wants to? Come on. So above all else, listen to me. Here's a pretty simplistic answer, but this is the answer. How do you make room for God in your life? Here we go. By having and growing your relationship with Jesus. By having and growing your relationship with Jesus. Pastor Greg says it this way. He says, the commodity of relationships is time. Listen, the currency that relationships run on is time. If you're going to have a healthy relationship with somebody, you need to invest time with that person. Is that right? Okay, so listen, many of us aren't experiencing the presence of God and therefore the joy and the freedom and that abundant life because right now we're too preoccupied with pursuing the presence and the blessings of things in life that are so far less rewarding than what Jesus will be in our lives. We're chasing after other things. We're crowding out God, okay? It's 2019 though, church. It's time to make room for God. Okay, so here's what I'm asking today. What's that thing? Or those things. What's that thing that you know that you know, is interfering with your relationship with God? What's that thing that you know is crowding out the space, not giving God the room he needs in your life? What is it? Okay, I think we know. Okay, and here's what I'm asking you to do today. Acknowledge it to God. Today, let's tell God. He already knows. Let's agree with him. Okay, and then here's what I'm going to explain this in a second, but I want you to begin talking to him about what he wants you to do with it. He has a plan. Okay, he really does. Today is the day. By even making a plan with him, today is the day. This is how you can start making room. And here's one very practical way to help all of us do that, okay? Really just to shoot us forward, okay? Listen, while the year is still considered the beginning of the year, I want to do this. I want to invite the whole church family, everybody who calls the gathering home, I want to invite you to join us as we give the first of the year to God and we fast together. Okay? Listen, you want to experience the presence and the covering, the authority, the blessings, the goodness, all that? You want to experience those things of God? We got to make room for God. We got to make space. Let's give him the first. So listen, beginning January 20th, I would like for all of us to call the gathering home. I would like for you to fast something. Okay, and listen, for at least a week. Okay, I'm not putting a time cap on it, okay? So maybe you want to go longer than a week. Here's what I'm really asking you to do. Right now, today, start a conversation with God. Ask God, what do you want me to fast and for how long? Okay, and then between now and the 20th, we'll talk about this again next week and we'll start on the 20th, that's a Sunday. I want you, between now and the 20th, I want you to commit to do that with him, okay? I'm personally gonna fast certain food and then I'm gonna fast social media as well, okay? Look, I know the common response can often be fasting. Can I just tell you something? I don't love fasting, I love food, okay? But deeper down than that, I love the presence of God in my life more, okay? And so some of us, if we're getting bummed out by the idea of fasting, or if you're like, man, that's the step is fasting, it's maybe because you've never yet taken a step taken a step to that degree to where you've actually opened yourself up for you to allow God to do something so incredible in your life in that way. I'm telling you, join us. Don't miss out on that, okay? So listen, it's not simply the idea that we're gonna skip on certain foods or anything like that, and then we're just gonna go on with life as usual. That's called a diet, right? The idea is that to replace that time. So if you say I'm gonna not eat meals at this time or whatever, the idea is instead of eating the meal, that time you would normally spend eating the meal, you spend that time with God in his word or in prayer. Okay, or let's say you fast sugar, okay? Then the idea is that every time your mind craves sugar, your stomach craves sugar, that dessert that you just love during that time, every time that happens, you redirect your thoughts toward God and you tell him, I want you more. I'm making room for you. The idea is that time you would spend on social media, and we know a bunch of us, I mean, we spend time on social media. The idea is we replace that with time spent with God, time spent praying, time in his word. Are you seeing this? Okay, listen, God is amazing. He is miraculous. His very nature is supernatural. How could something supernatural not happen in your life if you actually open up your life and give him the opportunity to do it? I'm telling you, you're gonna experience his goodness. Listen, it's not the absence of food itself that will do something amazing in your life. It's the extra room you make for God, the extra time you give him, and the room you give to him so that he can have the opportunity to do it. It's not the absence of food that's going to set you free, but God will talk to you and he will lead you to freedom. If you seek him with prayer and fasting, he'll give you a plan. It's not the absence of social media that's going to do something miraculous in your life. Actually, it probably is. We could probably all use a little break, couldn't we? Right? So, but combine that break with the power of God. Come on. Something amazing can happen. So look out. I'm telling you, church family, God wants to pour out his presence into your life in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. I believe he wants to take your relationship with him deeper. He wants to lead you to freedom. And he wants your 2019 to be a year of impact and significance. He wants to bless you. Is there anything, think about this, is there anything in your life that you're unwilling to give up to make room for God? Can I encourage you, if there's something you're unwilling to give up, that's probably the very thing you need to fast. Okay? On the positive side, though, what are you willing to give up to make room for God? What are you willing to set aside so that you can give him more time and give him more space right here for him to show up and do what he wants to do? What's that thing today? What's that thing that you know that you know that you know that God's already talking to you about? He's been talking to you about it. What's that thing? Acknowledge it to God. And let's begin to pray today. God, what do you want me to do with it? And here's what I want us to do. I want us to head into a season of prayer and fasting, anticipating that God is going to do the miraculous. Amen? He's got so much goodness in mind for you this year. Can't wait to see what he's going to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And can I just encourage you, as this new year begins, I'm confident God is saying this to every person. We sang it today. He loves you. You know, we sing in that song, How He Loves Us. There's this line about, I realize just how beautiful you are. That's a great line to sing. We do not realize how beautiful he is. As much as you try and imagine just how beautiful, and I would encourage you, man, stretch your imagination. But as much as you try, none of us have, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in mind. We have no idea just how glorious and beautiful. And let me just speak to you. You have no idea how deep God's unconditional love is for you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, Jesus said, I didn't come here to condemn you. Again, he said that he came that you might have life. He wants life for you. He loves you with a burning passion. And so he sees things in all of our lives that come against that love, that would interfere with the relationship, the life that we're supposed to have with him. And he looks at those things and he says, those are my enemy because they're going against my child that I love. So he says, I want to set you free. I want to give you a life like you can't even imagine. I want to do new and exceeding and even surprising things in your life, he says. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is there anything you'd be unwilling to give up to go deeper with God? And I know personally, we can get nervous. We can get afraid about what happens if this thing that I'm struggling with gets exposed. Well, what happens around here is grace. What happens around here is we cheer people on to go after God and to do the things that God has in mind for them. What do you need to acknowledge to him today? And what if we start that conversation? Come on, just start it with me. God, what do you want me to do? Here this is. Here's what's in my life. You already know. I acknowledge it to you. It's crowding out space with you. I don't want it to anymore, or I don't want these things to anymore. God, I want to know your love in deeper ways. If you want blessings for me, then I want them. I want everything you want to do in and through me. And so, God, I want to be set free. And so I'm asking you today, what would you say to me? What would you have me do? God, what would you have me fast as we enter this time? How long would you have me fast? I'm committed to doing life with you. I'm committed to going your way. And I'm inviting you. You are the supernatural God. Come and be yourself inside of me. And so, Lord, I pray over this awesome, church family. I say, would you bless your people? Would you continue to make us more like you, Jesus? Thank you that that's even a possibility. It's unbelievable. And use us, Lord. We want to see our city reborn. May Newton Reborn take place in us and through us, God. Let a people in their city be revived, rebuilt, and renewed by you for your glory. Have your way in and through us. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, and my whole church family said, amen. Come on, can we thank Jesus together for what he's doing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.